You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gordon Brown, James Millman and Rory Delaghi in the studio at Salisbury and Catterick on Tuesday afternoon. Chelmsford and Nottingham will provide the action in the evening. There's also evening racing over in Ireland as well from Cork and Roscommon. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
I'm good, Mark. How are you getting on?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Not too bad at all. We're going to look back at some of the action from Glorious Goodwood with regards to the future, the performances and what that can mean in future, using the questions in the Racing Post Monday jury. Before we do that, all well, Paddy? You're back riding again and having a good time with things?
Yeah, keeping busy enough, to be fair. Wouldn't be flat out, but can't complain. I'm kept going most days, so... and you know, I like to come in here when I can as well, when you guys will have me. So, no, it's been okay.
Good stuff. Yeah, pleasure to have you. Let's get into the Monday jury then. First question. With the commentary form franked, can anything threaten Caravaggio's dominance as the top juvenile? Form obviously being franked subsequently by Maymas at Glorious Goodwood. And given how easily Caravaggio won at Royal Ascot, the impressive performance there, he's going to be hard to topple as a top two-year-old, isn't he?
I think so. I just think generally he was on the wrong side, obviously, at Ascot. We've spoke about in the other studio before, but I mean, I thought he got fabulous ride off Ryan Moore that day. I mean, look, he's a guy who's ridden so many winners, but the way he used his brain in the race to see that he didn't have the ability on his side, horse wise in front of him or around him, to take him far enough up the track. So he slowly made his way, even though he wasn't hanging on and sitting pretty. He's let his horse down and he's gone for him because, you know, although he probably felt he'd a good bit of horse, he was going to go across to join Memas. And so he knew he had to have the revs up and going forward, but still he's had to cover so much more ground than Memas. And still, the way he went and beat him, it was a fabulous performance. And for me, he's outstanding, really.
On that ground as well. And the idea is that he'll be better on better ground.
Yeah, that's been what they've said. You know, he wants better ground. So people would always say, well, God, what sort of performance would he produce on better ground? But look, I think on the day, he could only do what he did. And there was a few performances at Ascot that people, you might maybe overrate because of the ground they actually had to encounter at Royal Ascot. So, I don't know, I'll be a little bit careful there. But that said, you know, very, very taken performance. And I just think, like I say, because of the part of the track he set the race on and the amount of ground he set to cover, it was a phenomenal performance, really. And like I say, the form has been franked big time.
It has. Second question then. Assuming the Gurkha and Galileo Gold meet again, who would your money be on?
I suppose it's difficult because people might maybe pigeonhole Galileo Gold as maybe a little bit one-dimensional as far as how he runs. And people could also say that he's won due to very, very good tactical Frankie rides. But I just thought the Gurkha the other day, you know, I mean, he was out in enough time, you know, to go and do the business the other day. And I don't know, it's a very, very close match between them. But I just think Frankie's horse, the next day, I think Chris Hayes hits the nail on the head there. I think they'll probably put a pacemaker in.
Yeah.
He just looked, it would have been ideal the other day. There's very little between them. But like I say, they've both got such different contrast in racing styles. Galileo Gold maybe is a little bit sort of, he's got less options, should I say, than the Gurkha.
Yeah.
So for me, probably on a whole, I'd be keener to be on the side of Aidan O'Brien's horse.
Okay. Did we see the emergence of a sprinting star in the shape of Stewards Cup winner Dancing Star?
Well, I just think probably the way the trainer talks about her, you know, he doesn't really dress his horses up too much, but he's very, very keen on this one. And, you know, he'd been pretty bullish beforehand and spoke up her chances. And then obviously she was spoken of in the same breath as Lock Song. He said she was probably quicker than Loxon was at that age.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I say, they've looked at good horses up and down for years now, and between him and his dad. And I think it was quite a big statement. And although she was drawn, probably you'd say, on the right side, all the right horses, I mean, the market got it spot on. But Stewart's Cup, actually, looking back on the records, Stewart's Cup, it's not actually that hard. I won't say not that hard to find a winner, but favourites have got a real good record in the race.
Yeah.
Or the more fancied ones. But that performance the other day was very, very taken. And, you know, the real, real form horse coming into the race has finished behind her in second. So that just gives it an extra good look, really.
Mm. I was impressed with the performance. Not many three-year-olds win the Stewards' Cup of late either. Obviously, the trend was booked last year by another Andrew Balding horse.
Yeah.
So obviously knows what he's doing in that respect. Would you pitch Minding into a mixed sex company now?
It's certainly something you'd like to see. She's got a great, great attitude. So much ability. And, you know, I think getting beat in the guineas at the Curragh, you know, it's probably, for me, it's a little bit forgivable. Great for Adrian Keatley, fantastic. Wouldn't take anything away from his filly. You know, filly who'd been bought for you know, peanuts, really, for what she's gone on to do. But ever since, been very, very good. And, yeah, definitely going in against mixed sex would be a treat for everybody, really.
Do you think she'll end up in the arc at the end of the season? Or maybe the judgment before that?
I suppose you've got the options there, haven't you? But, I mean, I think these guys, Aidan, and, you know, he seems to involve everybody, doesn't he? It's not really sort of, he never leaves things down to himself. He seems to go, like, from the lad who rides them out in the morning to the jockeys who ride them and the owners, and he involves everybody, and it, you know, he will cover every single angle.
Yeah. Other than those we've mentioned then, nominate a performance that caught your eye.
I think the racing at Goodwood got better for me as the week progressed. There was several performances there, really. I suppose what was the good 2-year-old, the one, was it the Frankel 2-year-old?
Oh, Fair Eva.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that was very, and just to watch Frankie trying to pull her up afterwards, you know, and I mean, she murdered him and she really ran to the line hard. And I always like to see horses taking a bit of pulling up. Not the ones now that finish fourth or fifth and don't try throughout, and the ones that, but I mean the ones that run strong to the line and then take a good bit of pulling up, it's always a good sign. It was very, very eye-taking, and it was a fabulous performance. And you could see, you know, like I say, a guy like Frankie who's just a few shy of his 3,000 winners, isn't it? He looked very, very visually impressed, and it was hard not to be.
Mm. Yeah, I would agree with that. Give us a horse you fancy over the coming fortnight. Nice open question for you there.
It is. God, I go day to day, Mark. I'm not really a sort of next week or 2 weeks man. I'm a day to day man myself.
Have you got any rides coming up that you're looking forward to or anything?
I'm at Catrick tomorrow, and I'm at Pontefract on Wednesday. Bits and pieces. I mean, your horse tomorrow, I've won a few races on him. He's generally better on the all-weather Yorkshireman, but he's down to a basement mark. At Catrick tomorrow. He's not been running that badly at all, and if I can do the weight tomorrow, I think he'll have a good chance.
All right, good stuff. We'll leave that there. That's the Monday jury then for another week. Let's get stuck into Tuesday's racing now. Paddy's got four races prepared for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then on to Tuesday's racing. We'll spin through some of the action at all four domestic venues, starting at Catrick in their 3:45. We start here with a Class 4 handicap over a mile and, almost a mile and 6 furlongs, isn't it? Nearly a mile and 3/4. 9 runners in the lineup here. Paddy, which ones have caught your eye in there?
In this race, Mark, I was going to go with John Quinn's 3-year-old, Project Blue Book. Has been running pretty consistently. I mean, I would prefer to see maybe softer ground, good to firm. You know, she's got form on heavy Beverly ground. But John Quinn's three-year-old gets a lovely pull at the weights at this time of the year. And off a mark of 75, it's been very, very consistent. It's only got 8.5 stone to carry tomorrow. Not badly berthed at all. And that was my selection in the 3.45 at Catterick, Mark.
Yeah, given the weather outside, it's obviously not too far away from Catterick here where we're recording in Leeds. There's a bit of rain about, so that could help.
Yeah, I mean, we got a good... I live right beside Catterick race course, but, you know, every day I've gone past, you can see the guys are on with the sprinklers. So they're keeping on top of the job. But just in an ideal world, I probably fancied a good bit more if there was a bit more digging the ground. But still, it's very, very consistent. And John Quinn's horses are doing well. And just got such a good pull now. The three-year-olds got such a good allowance. And Project Blue Book should be rewarded for her consistency.
Project Blue Book, the selection then at Catterick. Let's move on to the 5 o'clock at Salisbury next. Class 4 fillies handicap over a mile and a half. Seven of them in the lineup here. I suppose we could start with a number of these. There's several of them arriving in good form, the likes of Eager Beaver, Hero Y, and Honorina all won last time. So quite a good race.
Yeah, it is. You know, cause we've only got seven, but we've got a fair bit of quality on offer for this fillies handicap. But the one I was going to go with was down sort of near the bottom of the weights, was Honorina for Jim Boyle. Winner last time out. She won two races. She's been, apart from one blip, she's hardly been out of the money at all. She's been very, very consistent. And was back to form last time. And the one thing that probably sides me or persuades me to for her to be my selection tomorrow is the fact that she's going to have plenty of pace to aim at in this race. And off a mark of 70, I just thought she was good value. I just think, you know, she really could have things fall in her lap tomorrow. That said, the pace, we've got the Rafe Beckett filly here are we. She goes forward and she's very, very tough. Last time out winner as well 3 weeks ago. And certainly won't lie down. But that said, Sam Hitchcock's mount gets a £3 pull with Rafe Beckett's filly. I just think with the pace that's on offer tomorrow, just could really set things up for her.
OK, so Honorina then, the selection for Paddy in the 5 o'clock at Salisbury. The 7.05 at Nottingham is where we go next. This is another Class 4 fillies handicap. This one's over 6 furlongs. Only 7 of them in the lineup here, so maybe a little bit tight from an each-way perspective. But who do you think will come home in front? We've got a pretty informed runner there in the shape of Dana.
Yeah, we have. We've got a few sort of informed candidates like Rafe Beckett's other one, Emerald Lock. But my selection was going to be one of the other informed horses in Lachetico. It's got a £6 penalty to carry for its win 4 days ago. But Nathan Evans, who rides, obviously offsets that penalty bar £1. So she's got 9.2 stone to carry tomorrow. But we see Nathan Evans, well, I mean, he's had a fantastic season all around, but we've seen him in action at Goodwood the other day, and he's getting some fantastic opportunities off his boss, Mick Easterby, but he's grabbing the boat with both hands and been quite impressed with him, and horses really seem to run for him. This horse tomorrow, going for the hat-trick, well drawn, he's a three-year-old, and I thought represents fairly reasonable value with 5-2 and off a mark of 78. I think she could be capable of just landing the hat-trick here for Ed Vaughan.
So that's Paddy's selection then in the 7.05. And we finish off in the 7.20 at Chelmsford City. This is a Class 3 handicap on the all-weather surface there. It's over a mile. 9 runners to go to post in this one. Quite an open race here, but who would you start with in there?
In this one, Mark, I was going to go with the David Lochnane horse, Fuert, with Cameron Noble booked. I mean, David is called on Cameron quite a few times this season, and they've had a fair bit of luck with old Seamster and a few other horses in the last few weeks. But I mean, this will be no walkover because Hugo Palmer's horse, Strong Steps, a winner last time, it's been freshened up. That was 47 days ago. Mark Monaghan's booked to take £3 off, so certainly looks to be a horse who's, and it's a course and distance winner also. But the Dave Lochnane horse, the reason I selected that was the course winner. And obviously the association that the trainer and jockey have built up, it's not badly drawn in 4. And, you know, it's a fair long trip for Dave Lochnane to take his horse down. And with Cameron's £7 off tomorrow, gets to run off a mark of 75. I just think is really in good nick at the minute. And that would be my selection there, albeit that there is some potential improvers. But I just think this four-year-old for Dave Latnane is certainly going in the right direction.
For Wait, then the selection for Paddy in the 7:20 at Chelmsford City. Then let's just have a little bit of a summary, Paddy, if you wouldn't mind before you go. Just nominate your selections for us one more time.
Up at Catrick in the 3:45, my selection there was the John Quinn-trained Project Blue Book. Gets a good pull with the three-year-old allowance, so that was going to be my selection there. It'd be even better if maybe some rain arrived. In the 5 o'clock at Salisbury, I went for Honorina. I was back to form last time. Very, very consistent filly, full stop, really. But there's going to be plenty of pace on up front, although there's only seven runners. I think the race could be run to suit. And off a mark of 70, I thought this filly looked reasonable value, around about 5-1. And at Nottingham, in the 7:05, I went for Lagetico. It's going here for his hat-trick for Ed Vaughan. Ed Vaughan is a trainer who doesn't over-race his horses, but on the whole, he's not having a bad season at all. He's been shrewd here in booking Nathan Evans to take the £5 off to offset 5 of the £6 penalty that it picked up for its win a few days ago. It's got a nice draw and a 5-2. I think this three-year-old is certainly on the improve and maybe hasn't stopped winning just yet. And my last selection at Chelmsford for the 7:20 was for Fuert for Cameron Noble and Dave Latnane, who I've already mentioned have struck up a good relationship this year. He's a lovely, tidy rider, still claims 7. It's a course winner. He's got a nice draw in 4. And I just hope that Dave Latnane's long trip down to Chelmsford tomorrow evening is rewarded with Fuert in a race, I won't say full of improvers, but possible improvers. But Fuert, for me, just slightly gets the edge.
All right, good stuff. Thank you very much, Paddy. Been nice to see you again. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
All right, thanks, mate.
So there you go, the thoughts of Paddy Aspel on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Gordon Brown, James Millman and Rory Delaghi will be the team in the studio at Salisbury and Catterick on Tuesday afternoon, Chelmsford and Nottingham in the evening. We'll also bring you the best of the action from Cork and Roscommon over the Irish Sea as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.